The views, information, or opinions expressed on the Scullagan podcast are solely those of our hosts and the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors or their employees. This podcast is general in nature and for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition, procedure, or treatment. This episode of Scullagan is sponsored by Peak Talent Capital Solutions. Peak is a revolutionary alternative to the traditional staffing model. Ingenuity, intelligence, and keen marketplace insight drives talent management solutions which make a dynamic difference for partner organizations. From entry level to executive level and every role in between, Peak is illuminating a path forward and meeting the future of work head on. For more information, please visit their website at peaktcs.com. Hello, gang, and welcome in again to our Scullagan podcast, and we're on part two of technology, social media, and men's mental health. I'm Mike Frazier, and I'm joined, as always, by my great friend and co-host, Russell Sable. And first of all, I have to start with, you okay, bro?
Yes, sir. You okay, bro?
I'm fantastic. You're the one that showed up redder than usual.
Yeah, it's been chaotic out here.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's... I understand in today's weather, it's raining. I don't know when this is going to come out, but it's raining. It's going to be raining again tomorrow on March Friday. But, you know, with this one being about social media and being about how
technology
is ruining society and mental health, it is on my way here was ridiculous. I counted several amounts of people that were on their phones. Like, you're driving, okay? Fuck off the phone. All right. You know, I was told by my old swing coach one time when she picked me up, she says, I don't understand this new generation. This younger generation, while they're driving and always on their phones, it makes no sense. You're technically driving a weapon of some sort.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, you could be going through a red light and T-bone somebody and you are head on collision. Guess what? You just killed them or they're right in the hospital or they're paralyzed. Or maybe somebody was walking across the road and you just ran them over.
Pancaked them.
Yeah. And it's all because, well, what were you doing? You're on your phone.
Distraction.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And, you know, if you're on your phone, I don't know why it's so serious, why you need to be on your phone while you're driving and texting. You know, I know there's a law here in the state of Georgia. I don't know about anywhere else, but Jesus Christ, get the fuck off the phone while you're driving and pay attention to the roads. This is getting ridiculous.
Have you ever heard of anyone getting a ticket? I mean, do you personally know anyone that has gotten a ticket for being on their phone while they were driving or texting or anything else, any use of their cell phone? Have you even heard of it?
No, and my buddy is a GSP, and he hasn't told me. I mean, it's not something that troopers look for, but still, it's... I've asked him before. If that's
I haven't either. I just don't see it. And, you know, I noticed the same thing today when I went out. I went out quickly for lunch and to run a few errands. My thing is oh my gosh, if I have to sit through another light change while everyone's looking down, even when you go along beside them, if you just kind of glance, you'll notice that sometimes people are driving looking down.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, sitting at lights. I saw the other day where someone sat through a complete light change and was probably five car lengths back, behind the light, had just sat there through the light change. And people had to start honking. And people, you know, and today's also a day of road rage, man. We're in an age to where people just absolutely will lose their shit in a skinny minute. You know, like the old adage, you don't know, you know, was that the straw that broke the camel's back, right? So, I noticed you were a little redder than usual, like I started off with when you came in.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's, you know, these days a car is Bluetooth. Most of them are.
Yeah, my truck is. Your
and,
car is.
You know, when a text comes through on my dad's car, it'll actually pronounce, it'll say what the text is about. And, you know, most of the time from what I've learned, if there's something that's an emergency or something that's serious, you get a phone call.
That's right.
So, obviously, if you're texting or you got to check out Snapchat or you got to check out social media while you're driving, Like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think it takes us back to what we've been talking about. If people are addicted to these devices, whether it be a smartphone or, I said smartphone the other day in front of someone, and they said, oh, you don't say smartphone anymore. You can just say phone, because just about every one of them is a smartphone. I digress. But, you know, I believe that everyone is so addicted to some type of technology now, of this staying in a constant state of feedback, or in a constant state of no, or in a constant state of interaction. I don't understand it, because I avoid it like the plague. I can't do it. It drives me nuts. Mm. You know, as I've said before, all of my tones are off on my phone. You see how my phone is right now. It's set face down, you know, so I'm not distracted while I'm doing something. And, you know, I come from that old school that if everyone of importance knows where I am right now, if they need me and it's really bad and they can't get me on that phone, call the office, you know, and they'll track me down. So I can see, you know, the frustration is real, because not only are you watching all these accidents and wrecks, and you have to be watching out for everyone else, like drifting now. That's the other thing, is drifting into your lane. You're like, my God, you have to watch out for everything. And that just kind of adds to the stress, doesn't it? Adds to the stress that we're already dealing with daily.
Or they're very tentative. They're not sure which lane to be in, or where they need to turn. Or,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. I don't know. Figure it out.
Yeah, really. Or get, I don't know. Maybe they're dishing out licenses a lot easier now, or it's a lot easier to get a license now than it was when I was coming up. But I don't know.
I don't either.
But every moron has one.
15, I don't even know how. My time was when license came out. What was that? Oh, let's see. 27 now?
Oh my God, I thought you were older than that. You look so much older than that.
Yeah, I feel old.
See, you and I have two problems. Your problem is you look older than your age, and my problem is I look much younger than my age.
Yeah, but we both wake up every morning with back problems and everything fucking hurts.
Everything falling apart.
Yeah.
Before I have to start swallowing pills and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, luckily I'm not there yet.
Hey, baby, you will be soon, trust me. But, no, all joking aside, it's funny you came with that. I actually this morning was, you know, along the lines of our technology discussion, I had signed up on Facebook, or was following some little group on Facebook about bourbon. Okay, it's a shared passion of mine and yours. Good bourbon.
Oh,
in fact, I presented you with a bottle today when you got here, just for being you.
Yeah, I appreciate that,
brother. You have no idea how much I appreciate you,
son. Like candy.
Yeah, sir. Yeah. I saw that your eyes light up like a 8-year-old on Christmas morning opening an Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. It's, like it's beautiful.
It's like a 6-year-old in a candy shop.
That's right. But I was following this little bourbon group or whatever, and I noticed that my thing about social media is, you know, I'm a personality of live and let live, man.
Mm-hmm.
We each have likes, dislikes. You know, I like certain bourbons. You and I share a taste in some of the same bourbons. I know a lot of other people don't. And I was noticing that people would go on there, like one made a comment, you know, just got his first bottle of Eagle Rare, and which I find is a wonderful bourbon. All of these people were coming on there, well, I say people, men, were pouring in and just tearing this kid apart, you know, oh, there's better bourbons out there, you know, and being just, I don't know, for lack of better terms, just being shitheads for no reason, which I have a real problem with. I'm like, dude, what does it matter to you what this kid's drinking? You know, say, hey, congratulations, enjoy your bottle.
Yeah.
That's my thing, you know? And Lord, some other poor fool came on there and mentioned that he had gotten a bottle of Basil Hayden's. There's a one out there now called Basil Hayden's Toast. I haven't tried that one.
I haven't either, no.
But there's Basil Hayden's Dark Rye,
yeah,
and it's actually pretty tasty.
It is.
But a lot of people consider Basil Hayden's, straight up Basil Hayden's, that it's like a starter bourbon, or a, you know. And I think that when I'm looking and I'm reading this comment section, I'm drawn to it as to how just critical people have become. They believe that once it's their opinion is, you know, like Moses carried it down from the mountain, and it's, you know, carved into a tablet. And how dare you like something I don't like, or, and if I don't like it or it's not to my taste, I'm going to make you look like an idiot. I just don't understand that at all. I find that infantile behavior, actually. You know, I operate off MYOB. MYODB. Mind your own damn business. You know, I mean, live and let live. Enjoy life. Not everyone's going to agree with you. Mm-hmm. But we seem to have on social media, we spend a lot of time trying to find fault in others.
Yeah.
And we don't stop to consider that maybe we're wrong or everyone has a different taste. And I had a discussion about this yesterday with a good friend of mine at lunch. And we were talking about how our tastes change as we get older. And I'm 10 years older than he is, but my taste buds have changed dramatically. I like things today that I did not like in my 20s and my 30s and my 40s. Mm. So everything changes. And hopefully, and that's part of growth. That's actually part of what we call maturity. So if you're not maturing and you're not growing and you can't see that there can be more than one opinion other than yours, that is a... That's a weakness, but it's also, to me, it's a sign that you need to stop and work on your own mindset. And, you know, and I had to go off on that one because you brought what set you off today. That's what I noticed this morning. And then I, of course, removed myself from that group because I don't want to read all that shit.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, you can like whatever you want to like. I thought there were going to be some good pictures and some good suggestions of bourbon. No, it's just a bunch of grown men on there acting like a bunch of babies. So I'm like, nah, I don't have time for this. But we've done a lot of research on this. You know, we started up we opened with part one of this, and you gave us some good background on the social media sites out there. We went into a little bit of things. I got into a little bit of, you know, the infantilism behind it and, you know, how it can create some mental health issues and depression. You know, I've got some stuff here that I'll go over after you. A line, you know, after you get some of yours out of the gate. So I'm going to let you start off now that we've gotten past our little bit of rants. You want to go and help us out, lead us down the path, my friend.
Yeah, this part two, this is going to be a pretty good one. This is more of kind of the effects of it more often or so. But, you know, social media can throw off your concentration at work or in school or even disrupt your sleeping pattern. We have become a slave to our phones or computers so we can see what's going on in our world and on social media. Social media has been linked to us, has been given us, excuse me, anxiety, depression, loneliness, as you said, Mike.
Yep.
It increases our FOMO, if you don't know what it is, fear of missing out. Feelings of inadequacy, dissatisfaction, and isolation. And, it starts off with anxiety and depression. We constantly worry about getting all of those likes and shares and comments. And we all want to make sure that we, you know, it's part of that FOMO. We're always constantly checking our pages. It's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so on and so forth. It's like we are afraid of going to miss out on something, like I said, FOMO, that we have to check in. You know, I can't tell you how many people I'll go on Messenger, like I said, in part one, just to see who's all there early in the morning and even throughout the day. And I constantly see the same people, and it's funny. It never changes. It's like, are you at work, or maybe you don't have a job, or it's like, change it up, do something other than being on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, I think we're compelled. I think a lot of people are just compelled. They're shareaholics.
Yeah.
You know, I shared a lot here recently because of my wife's birthday and things like that, because it makes my wife happy.
Mm-hmm.
That makes my wife happy. If it makes my wife happy, and it's legal.
Yeah, I think you shared about 50,000 pictures of it all.
Well, yeah, maybe 50,001, but who's counting, right? But, I mean, no, it makes her happy, and if she's happy, I'm happy. So, but then I watched to where it looks like that I saw, I even have family members that will do this. They'll go on, I guess there's these rants. It's almost like it's like a diary entry. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the hell they're talking about, but they know. And I'm assuming that they're hoping that the person that they're writing this post about will read it and know that it refers to them.
Right.
And I'll find that a little bizarre as well.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm one of these, like, hey, you know, if you or I would have an issue, we'd say, hey, man, and we'd say something to one another. I think that's what keeps us, our relationship, mentally healthy.
Yeah.
You know we can just be honest. But a lot of people just, I guess, have a very difficult time being honest with other people or expressing themselves. And so that might be a way, hey, I'm going to type this down, you know, today at lunch, and it really pissed me off, and blah, blah, blah. And you go into your rant and you post it, and you're hoping the target reads it.
Right.
Well, what the hell are you going to do if the target doesn't read it? Yeah. Now, what are you doing now, going on there hoping and trying to look and see? To me, it puts you into like a spiral of negativity sometimes.
Yeah, it's almost a form of complaining.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, my neighbor and I sat and talked. We said hey to each other, and he asked how my day was yesterday. And I says, well, you know, I can't complain. And I always bring up this one thing that my boss always told me is like, you know, when you complain, 95% of those people don't care.
No.
But 5% actually do because, well, maybe it might help them out, or maybe they just like hearing you complain.
Somebody here loves to hear you bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, hey, man, there's always that 5%. You know, I don't know. I don't think that things bother me or affect me the same way that it does others, and I'm kind of blessed with that. I've got a very adaptive mindset. I don't also don't read into things. I try not to. I always want to give someone the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of cell phones, how many times have you gotten a text message and you could have read? You could read it either way. You could read this is a slam. This is someone being an ass to me. Or being rude or being disrespectful. You know, everyone wants to be respected nowadays. Or they could just have typed it in a hurry.
Yeah.
Left out one damn word or forgot to turn their caps off like I do sometimes. And, mm-hmm. of course, that's considered shouting in the texting world or that communication, that technological little realm that everyone lives in. And I just don't see it that way. I always tend to give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he or she is having a bad day, and I think I'm just not going to compound it.
Yeah,
because
it's like being ghosted, which is a new
right.
thing these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or like if someone doesn't answer you right away, you could assume immediately that you are being ghosted.
Right.
That's a great point, actually, you make, because that's all over the place right now.
Yeah, it's the biggest thing in the dating world now.
Is
all of a sudden you're going on a date with them, or you'll get talking to them, and all of a sudden they just like, you'll send them a message, hey, how are you doing, or something, and they'll read it, or they'll open up the Snapchat or whatever, and then they leave it at that. It's like...
You're like, what the hell here?
I'm just trying to have a simple communication with you, and you don't want to... Right,
well, don't you think that sometimes, you know, you and I've talked about it a lot here recently as well, but back to ghosting real quick before I make the other point, is, you know, ghosting is huge at every level, especially in employment.
Yeah.
You know, how many are going to be there tomorrow morning for the interview, and you count on that, and they just disappear off the face of the earth. That you've had, you know, maybe even a couple of conversations with them. They were exuding, you know, confidence in the job that they could do it. It was something that aligned very well with what they were seeking, and it was just an exuberance that you're feeling from the other side. Then all of a sudden, you come in at 9 o'clock in the morning, and where's your 9 a.m. appointment? Mm-hmm. That's really weird to me. That goes back to communication. It goes back to how easy, I guess, it is just to blow people off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, you and I have even talked about it. You know, you send a message to someone, you don't hear from them. You know, there's an assumption. You know, I've done it before. I'm not perfect. We all may, I'll catch my mind wanting to go there. Then I have to remind myself that, you know, maybe he or she is... Maybe they read it, then had something came up. You know, there is this thing called life.
Yeah.
You know, and some shit happened to them right then. That happens to me all the time. Like, I'll read a text message, or I don't have the words I want to say composed at that moment. Mm-hmm. And I just don't answer right away, you know. I mean, I texted you the other day, and, you know, you ghosted me.
I did, didn't I? No, I think
you
I
did. You did. Yeah. You ghosted me.
I was
but
in
you know
the middle
what?
Of dinner or something.
Well, I figured you were probably eating or drinking or having fun, but I didn't assume nothing by it. That's why today I sent you, okay, bro.
Yeah, I completely. Well, I say no.
No.
I'm gonna call you out real quick.
Okay, come on.
When I read that text, I called you.
That oh hell, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
You bastard.
Yeah.
And we were on the phone a while, weren't we?
We were, yes, sir.
Oh man, I was. Right. Where was I? I don't even remember. I was driving now. That was a good conversation. It was a great conversation. Thank you for calling me.
You were actually headed home because you were going to take your wife to.
That's right.
A lovely dinner.
That's right. We were going to dinner. You're right. So I withdraw my ghosting complaint.
Yeah, damn right. Take that back.
I take it back. I was wrong. See, but there's the exact example. You know, not assuming. But, you know, I think you and I don't know, we're a little different than some. But, you know, I also see social media as, and it's been called, and I love this when I read it, it's been called a high-tech pacifier. Mm. I've never been enamored with social media to the degree that a lot of other people are. I use it. You and I both use it. I don't use it as much as a lot of other people do. I'm not stuck to it or glued to it. I do use it for not only I use it for research. There are some sites in social media that is absolutely outstanding for research if you're wanting to look at a topic. Mm-hmm. Also use it for feedback. Also use it, of course, to get my business interests out there, or to market and to do other things, or to introduce new products or processes or programs. So it is extremely valuable at so many levels when utilized right. We used it years ago when one of our little dogs ran away. He got out of the back and he had boogied, man, and Petey was just a nut. And he had gone, and if we hadn't have used it, we'd have never found him. So it worked out perfectly for us.
Yeah, it's the new thing that's going around these days.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems to be something that's more popular. So when you lose an animal or your animal was at loss, I see more and more people these days using Facebook.
Yeah, it works.
Their pet is lost for the moment. I've seen it more now these days than anything, and they.
Yeah, it works.
All of a sudden they have their pet back within hours.
My wife made a comment to me at that. She said, see, it really works for stuff like that. And I said, yeah, you're right. Because she was the one that thought about doing it. And she posted it over. And I mean, that night we had a lot of leads. But by the very following morning, I was driving to pick him up. So it was very valuable to us in that state. So I think it has its merits. But it's just like anything else. We can take it and abuse it.
Yeah.
It's just like alcohol. It's like anything else. So I think that we have to understand that we ought to know where our limits are and then, modify our behavior if necessary so that we're not. So if it's making us feel anything other than joyful, I have that rule. If it's really making me feel anything other than just joyful or happy and, excited to be there or my biggest thing is I'm nerdy. If it's not giving me some information I don't already know that is valuable to my life or career, if it doesn't tick all those boxes, then I'm boogieing on out of there. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to read it. I don't really want to be a part of it. I don't want to participate in negativity.
Right.
Why should I? Why would I want to when life has enough bullshit going on? You know, you have enough coming at you than to go and willingly participate in bullshit. Now, think about that one.
Yeah, Germany Kent said a good thing. When your mental health becomes impacted by social media, then it's time for a detox. The hell off of social media.
That's a great.
Talk to yourself. Go do something else.
Yeah.
So, going back to one other thing, social media can also cause loneliness. We see others like our friends or family together on holidays or even dating, or gives us a sense of loneliness because we are not with the family due to travel issues. Like even this past Christmas, there were some families that I saw, some of my friends that work with me, and they unfortunately weren't able to get back home because of weather, the cost of flights, holy cow. Even some people would rather text or chat through social media instead of face-to-face, which then makes us feel lonely. It's like putting in more time into friends online instead of the ones that are right in front of you. Like we talked about in episode one, in part one, when we were at a restaurant and you could see people that were on a date or maybe they were just having dinner together and they're on their phones.
Isn't that amazing?
Having a face-to-face conversation.
That just seems to be so difficult for a lot of people, but I also believe that we've encouraged a lot of introversion. Grace, you're in here with us. Wouldn't you agree that introversion has been rather, I don't know, promoted to a degree? Come on, Grace. Well, what do you think? We have to deal with a lot of introversion. Every day.
Every day.
Do you think it's a generational thing?
Probably.
Probably. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I believe that sometimes it is promoted to a degree because we're promoting other levels of communication and exalting those levels of communication rather than encouraging people to be face-to-face.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just one of my things. You know, I prefer face-to-face communication. I prefer to talk. Actually, when you called me, it was really good because we got a lot done in that just that conversation, and I was on the road. I was headed home to change, and, you know, that was a great conversation. It was a whole heck of a lot easier than texting to where one of us may have forgotten something. And also, when we talk, it spurs more creativity. And
can pay attention to emotions.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Especially face-to-face, and, you know, you can hear it in a person's voice as well.
Yeah.
But you can't pay, it's an excellent point. How do you pay attention to an emotion in a text or on an instant message?
Yeah. I asked my mother, and, you know, I'm sure you're a part of this generation too, about how social media has changed her and society and her view. And since she is part of the older generation, and so are you, Mike, because you have a pet dinosaur and you're part of Civil War. You know, they didn't really rely on technology to communicate like we do today. We no longer talk face-to-face. Texts are only words, but the interpretation can be misconstrued in a fashion that it can be misleading, like we just mentioned. They always believe what we see and not do the research. Meaning, I mean, especially in politics today on social media, you could see one thing on Facebook or Instagram, you instantly believe it.
Yeah, that's scary. You make a great point there, and it does. You can, you know, there's been so many examples of that, to where something has been posted, and it is just totally untrue, or it is littered with untruths, yet it is considered the gospel. That's scary.
Yeah,
you know, that you're just taking something at face value. And I believe the other thing, now I haven't read this anywhere, but I believe another thing it does is, and along these same lines, is it reduces and even kills our ability for critical thinking.
Yeah.
So
that is a good one, yeah.
We just don't, we're, you know, oh my gosh, we're, and it might feed perfectly into our confirmation bias that, you know, this aligns perfectly with what I believe, so I'm going to share it. So, but you may be sharing something that is totally false, but because it aligns with your particular set of principles or your beliefs, you're just immediately putting it back out there, which I believe is not only dangerous and foolish, but idiotic as well. I'll go that far, because you haven't done anything to verify or validate that this information is anything beyond what has just entered your eyeballs. You know what I'm talking about? And that's a little scary, but that's a great point you make. But I do think it has a lot to do with the destruction of our communication skills, which no one can deny that's happened, and also the destruction of our critical thinking skills, which have been basically put on hold over the last couple of generations. I don't know what the fool's going on there. But it can be, like anything else, a destructive tool, or you can use it for good. You know, I was reading all on social media here. You read all about social media use was correlated with depression in general. And you and I had talked about this before, because I hate the term, because it's painted with too broad of a brush on too many men, this toxic masculinity. But they found that those that exhibited or displayed what we would term true toxic masculinity, those that reported that they considered dominance, misogyny, and homophobia as masculine norms, were more likely to seek out information they disagreed with, pursue negative interactions with others online, and ruminate over these experiences after they stepped away from the computer. That is absolutely fascinating to me. So now, basically what this means, if you're not, I don't even know if you're old enough to remember this, takes me back to the old cartoon book, the old cartoons, not the old comics I used to read, and it was always the Charles Atlas ad in it with the guy kicking sand and the skinny dude's face on the beach.
And the newspaper.
Yeah, and he was
brought to every house, but not anymore.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And he was kicking sand in his face, and this dude went and got on the Charles Atlas program, and he bulked up, and he came back, and I don't exactly remember how, but he put him in his place. But it is exactly the same thing. These are people that are going out and seeking these negative interactions and even bullying. We could go as far as bullying online. They're seeking it out, but they found that even after they were doing, they continued to ruminate on it, and that they were more likely to engage in all this negative stuff than experience more symptoms of depression and externalize that depression with aggression and rage. Now, that to me was fascinating. It did take me back to that old ad in the comic books, you know, because you're just seeking out, you're just looking to pick on someone for some reason. Now, that is toxic behavior, and I've seen that with men and women. Believe it or not, folks, there are toxic females as well, okay? Mm-hmm. There's toxic everyone out there. You know, assholes do not know just one sex. But, you know, I digress. This was just remarkable to me, and not only linked to more depression, but it can also, like we've stated, be linked to positive online behaviors. But they found that if you find yourself that you're going down the rabbit hole, that you should change over to do a little bit, change your pattern. You talk about this. Mm-hmm. Start looking at sites that have positive and supportive messages, and think about those kind of messages while offline. Those, when they did the testing or they went in and surveyed those people, that right there was associated with lower levels of all types of depression. All these people did was change their pattern of what they were taking in and what they were seeking out and looking for on social media and participating in, and it lowered their depression.
Yeah. And that reminds me, you know, ever since I've gone through a bunch of things and projecting more positivity on social media, I've been seeing a whole heck of a lot more, seeing different posts and more reels and on my feed, and seeing a whole different things, more positivity on there. And, you know, social media is good for several things. You know, my family, or more of my parents, they use it more for connecting with family and friends, trying to keep in touch with them. I mean, heck, even my father, he doesn't have a Facebook. My mom does, so my mother got a contact from one of my father's old friends from college, and now we didn't even realize, but he lives in Athens, and so now we keep in touch with him back and forth.
Well, that's cool. See, that's a positive aspect there. That's wonderful. Reconnecting.
So, yeah, so, you know, when you put that positivity out on social media like I have, it starts turning you into a better person, but you can also use to make sure the family knows what's going on, and also keep up with family. Meeting new people, making new friends, which I've made a lot of new friends this past year, which is really cool. Putting your mistakes out there, letting people know that, you know, you're sorry, you have an apology to friends and family, saying it's time for a change, time to get better, be better, but also help others start doing more positive things. You know, we started up this podcast, which is going in a great way, and
oh yeah,
and hopefully it continues to go down that way. But, you know, there's times when you have to realize that when you're struggling with social media, you'll probably realize it immediately. But there's also things that are out there. And I'm going to list some things out there that can help you. Limit social media to 30 minutes to an hour every day. I have a family, not a family friend, but a coworker, and they always talk about how his kids, you know, they, you know, you've got 1 hour or 2 hours ago, do whatever you want when you come home from school. Then after that, you need to focus on schoolwork or something, read a book, do something other than being watching TV, social media, being on the phone. Don't use your phone in the bedroom. Read a book in the bedroom. Do something different. Get busy with work. Join a gym. Read a book. Like I said a second ago, hang out with friends, family, get a real connection with people, get off the damn phone and quit texting back and forth. Holy crap. Especially if you're in a car. It's just, Jesus. Explore areas of interest or find a new interest in something that you will like. Or maybe there's something out there that you're willing to try and you never know what could happen. You might like it, you might may not like it, but it's okay. At least you're willing to try.
Yeah, I think that you make outstanding points. It's deciding. You have to decide for yourself. And you know we hear about this all the time. You can't change people's minds for them. I was reading something the other night. It really pertains to this. I'm just going to paraphrase, and we've seen this so many times in literature or we see quotes. But in a nutshell, you know, you're not going to change until you determine or decide to change.
Right.
You know, people can say to you, you've got a problem, and most people are going to go into the defensive there, or they're going to start explaining why they have to, why they're doing what they're doing. And until you decide that you don't feel, you know, to me, looking for the symptoms, and a symptom for me is I don't want to feel like I'm beholden to something or that I'm addicted to something. And if it's controlling too much of my life, I've even got a little app on my phone now that, and I don't know how the hell it got there. I believe it was on the last download or update, but it's reporting to me each week how much phone time I had.
Yeah.
Do you have that on yours?
I do. I think it's something new that started not too long
ago. Yeah, I haven't had it long, but it's amazing to me because I'll see, well, you used, you know, you were online or this, that, or the other 2 hours, 3 hours less this week than last week, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Because even I find, you know, my problem with my phone is it's an excellent source for me to, it's extremely easy for me to pick it up, go to the front page and hit Google Scholar and Google for results. And that Google Scholar gives me papers and studies and things. So if I'm researching a topic or I'm writing on a topic, like I'm doing some things right now with the books, or I'm working on things here for the company, I'll go in and read these studies and I look at them from every direction. So it's extremely easy for me to grab the phone and do that, have that impulsive thought, because that's what it is. And then, you know, my wife will invariably say, are you going to put that thing down tonight? You know, because I have that problem. I will get engrossed in what maybe other people may find rather nerdy stuff, but I'm engrossed in it because it, well, it pays my bills. Mm-hmm. Makes my, that's how I make my living. So,
yeah, I'm right there with you. I've got
easy to do.
Making notes. You know, I have a computer now, so it's a whole lot easier, but here I am where we just got done eating dinner, and I'm at a dinner table making notes for a podcast. And my parents would look at me like, "You want to, you know, do that later?" We're at a dinner table, damn it!
Yeah, hey! You know, at least get the gravy out of your beard before you start
it's
this, right?
Leftovers.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, I know you like
later
it.
On dessert or something.
There you go. I understand. You know, I understand. Well, I think this has been a good, I hope that you agree it's been a good podcast. What Russell and I are talking about is no more than behavioral change. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like that you are experiencing some level of negativity or depression or anxiety, or you find yourself spending way too much time on social media or your phone or any type of electronic device, and especially if you notice that those around you that depend on you for care and concern or love and attention are feeling a little outed or feeling a little like they're, you know, I don't know, slighted is the better term, you might want to take some advice and just kind of back off of it. It is a drug. It does. It's been compared to the same thing as, you know, sex and cocaine and all the other stuff that keeps our brain going, but you do need to seriously consider backing off a little bit, only if you're in a state to where you feel like it is impacting your own well-being or the sanctity and the love and the warmth or the time that you're able to have with another that you care about. That's probably the easiest way I can say it. So I think other than that, we would just be beleaguering the point, but I think we've presented some great stuff today. Do you want to wrap it up, my brother?
Yeah, certainly, and I'll finish out with one thing. Last Friday was a pretty big day for me.
Oh, yes.
It marked January 27th, marked 1 year that I have no longer had suicidal thoughts. As January 27th, I almost took my own life. So if you're one of those people that's out there, you're struggling with relationship, or you're struggling with anything mentally-wise, do yourself a favor and don't even think about suicide, because it is not the answer. My life has changed way beyond with this podcast work has changed. My golf game has actually gotten way better.
It's about time.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I still kick your ass, but it's okay. But there's a lot more that's out there, and you have to sit there and sit back and think about what you really got. Take a Skulligan, as we say.
That's right.
There's a lot more out there, and you know, it really took my German Shepherd really to take a look in my eye, and I was like, all right, this is not the answer. So, you know, you got friends, you have family, you have your support group. Get out there, talk to people. It doesn't matter who it is, just bring it out. Call us, text us, whoever, email us. We'll help you out, and we can do what we can.
That's right.
To help you through it all. Check out our website at skulligan.com. We have awesome merchandise. We're getting ready to drop Yo-K Bro here soon. And
Yo-K Bro is dropping next week. We got a lot of good stuff to go with on that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. I'm excited. I'm excited. I keep talking about it at work.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But everybody from Mike Frazier and I, Russell Sable, have a good night, everybody.
And before Mike Frazier squeezes on out of here between this chair and this wall and tries to get my big rear end around this small table, I want to add something. I'm so happy you're still here, brother.
Yes, sir.
And you've made a dramatic and positive difference in my world, and I know you do it for so many. And I appreciate you, and I wouldn't want to be doing this right now with anybody other than you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Listen to this man. So from that dude and this dude, take great care to the next time you hear us.
Good night, everybody.
This episode of Skulligan is sponsored by WorkPlus Brain, a research, analytics, and consulting firm established to share analysis, intelligence, and expert points of view on the future of work. The future of work is cerebral. Increase revenue, work less, or get you or your organization in the right frame of mind. Whatever your ambition, our evidence-based coaching and solutions will help you achieve those results or realize your biggest, boldest goals. For more information, please visit their website at work.plusbrain.com.